I know you support passage of the Rocky Mountain Front Heritage Act. There are some ranchers who are worried that that act would harm in some way their grazing rights. What do you say to them about those concerns?
Well, I'm also concerned about these projects, but I know that the bill was a Made in Montana bill. This measure is important to our tourism economy and will help conserve one of the jewels of our public lands. I believe that it does protect grazing rights.
Senator, there are some conservative lawmakers in the West who propose privatizing or the state taking ownership of federal land. You think that's a bad idea?
I do think it's a bad idea because what it's going to do, it's going to put the requirement onto the state, and the state then is going to have to provide the resources to manage those lands. And I don't believe that the state has the resources to do it. For example, if a fire season came through, I know how expensive fires can be on our forest lands, and so then the state would have to pick up the cost. And this, I just don't believe that the state will be able to adequately manage those resources. I'm committed to increasing public access to public lands, and I want to make sure that we are doing everything we possibly can to make sure that the access remains to the citizens of Montana and our visitors. We have tourism is our second highest industry in the state, and we need to make sure that we do everything we can to protect that and improve it.
Senator, you also support building the Keystone Pipeline, both for the jobs that would create and to bolster the domestic oil supply. But there's no guarantee that the oil moving through that pipeline would be sold domestically. Do you support making that a stipulation of the pipeline being built?
Well, I've taken a look at that, but we're really one of the reasons, or the primary reasons I support the Keystone Pipeline is that, I was born and raised in Butte, Montana. The Berkeley Pit was about six blocks from my backyard. I understand what happens when we talk about irresponsible natural resource development. And so we can't have another Berkeley Pit anywhere in Montana, anywhere in the United States, or anywhere in the world for that matter. So I want to focus on making sure that the environment that we hand over to our future generations, my granddaughter is 1 year old today, I want to make sure that the environment that we hand out over to her and future generations is better than the environment that we have that I grew up in. And I did grow up in a very nice environment in Montana. So it's important to protect our environment. I believe, by moving the oil through that Keystone Pipeline is the safest way to move it, that it's going to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and it's going to reduce fuel consumption or energy consumption. Right now, we're moving the oil via truck and train. We've had several accidents over the past couple of years moving the oil that way. So I truly believe that by moving the oil, that I believe, first of all, that oil is going to be moved from the tar sands, and that we have to move it safely and through the pipeline is the best way to do that.
Of course, there was a major pipeline spill on the Yellowstone in Montana, which was an oil pipeline. But my question was, there's no guarantee that the oil moving through that pipeline would be used domestically. And there are some, including one of your opponents, Mr. Bollinger, who think that should be a stipulation of the pipeline being built, that if we approve the pipeline, then you have to promise that that oil would be used in the United States. Do you support that or not?
Well, I want to make sure that the pipeline is built using the highest safety standards and that we are able to continue to get off Middle Eastern oil. I never want to send another young Montanan or a young American to the Middle East to fight for oil. So becoming energy dependent on our, here in the United States is very important to me.
But would you make that a stipulation of the pipeline being built?
Right now I would not make it a stipulation.
The Obama administration, Senator Walsh, is expected to soon propose new guidelines for limiting carbon emissions from existing power plants. Do you support or oppose that?
Well, I will take a look at the standards when they come out to see what they say and the impact that it's going to have on Montana's coal fuel future. I understand that we are, need to continue to use coal to provide energy, and that we need to, that clean air and clean water is very important. And so, but I also understand that we're not going to turn off the, flip the switch tomorrow or in the next couple years and move away from coal. So finding ways to burn that coal as cleanly as possible is very important.
climate change scientists, some of them believe that limiting emissions is one way to spur the industry to find ways to make coal either cleaner or to find alternatives to it, that without those emission incentives, limits on emissions, that they're not going to do that of their own accord, especially because they can continue to make money doing what they're doing now.
Well, I will, again, like I mentioned, take a look at the proposal when they come out. You know, and I believe that we do need to find ways to reduce emissions, and that we should invest in making sure when that coal that's being burned is being burned as cleanly and as efficiently as possible, and that the rules need to take that into account. But the rules need to work for Montana. You know, Montana, we have an enormous amount of coal in our state. We have several coal fire plants that provide good quality jobs. So we need to, when we talk about shifting over to renewables, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. And so we have to take that into consideration.
I guess the timing is the issue, isn't it, in the debate, because climate change scientists say we've already gone down a track that we can't reverse, and that in order for that track to be less catastrophic, we have to do something now, that we can't wait.
Well, you know, I agree that climate change is happening, and we need to reduce our impact. You know, as humans, we need to reduce the impact on climate change. But I also am realistic in thinking that it's not going to happen overnight. And we're not, you know, like I mentioned, you know, coal is very important to Montana, and energy is important, and so we've got to balance that. And but you know, the economy and jobs are also very important.
You want to move on to health care now, Senator. It's not clear whether you support or oppose the, or at least to me anyway, whether you support or oppose the Affordable Care Act. Can you clarify whether you think that act, flawed as it may be, was the right thing to do? And if not, what would be your alternative?
You know, and like I've mentioned before, when the Affordable Care Act was passed by Congress, I was serving as the Adjutant General for the state of Montana. And we were preparing soldiers and airmen to deploy to Iraq and Afghanistan. And I wanted to make sure that our service members and their families were being looked after. You know, I, like myself, like most Montanans, was very disappointed in the rollout of the health care law. You know, it was a disaster. You know, there have been many broken promises about more affordable health care coverage, so I'm disappointed in that. You know, I've mentioned it several times that I didn't vote for Obamacare, and the implementation has cast a lot of doubt on whether this was the right policy for our country. While some of the achievements, like eliminating discrimination based on pre-existing conditions and reining in health care companies, have benefited many Montanans, we still are waiting to understand to see if we're going to realize the savings that have been. And so until I see the savings realized and health care costs come down like they were supposed to, you know, the jury, from my perspective, the jury is still out. I do believe we need health care reform in this country. But whether this is the right way to do it, the jury is still out from my perspective.
Yeah, I didn't ask if you voted for it, because I know you weren't in Congress when it was passed, but I asked if you support or oppose it, and it sounds to me like you oppose it, and that in that case you might favor repeal.
Well, again, the jury is still out. I want to see the health care costs come down. You know, we're putting a lot more people on into the health care system that have coverage, and that may be something that causes the health care costs to come down. But, you know, I'm disappointed in the promises that have been made to Montanans that we are not, that we are not actually seeing those costs come down. I want to make sure that we are able to provide quality, affordable health care for our citizens. And until I see that happening, you know, that we are able to provide quality, affordable health care for the majority of Montanans, I'm not going to come out and support of the Affordable Care Act.
Do you have other ideas or proposals in mind that you think would be better?
Well, like I talked about, you know, I think there's some things that we still need to do or that we could take a look at with regard to bring down health care costs. And one of them would be, you know, being able to negotiate prescription drug prices. I met with an optometrist in an office in Missoula last month, and he brought out two different vials of medication that he said he uses on 99% of his patients. One of them he can use on for Medicare patients, and the other he can't. The one that he can't use on Medicare patients was a generic drug, and he pays about $250 for a vial of that. The other vial that he can use on prescription drug prices or Medicare patients. He pays about over $2,000 for. And he indicated that he could alone save hundreds of thousands of dollars to the state of Montana if he had the ability to negotiate prescription drug prices just for that one prescription. So if we were able to do that, you know, across the state of Montana and across the country, we'd be able to save hundreds of millions of dollars on prescription drugs.
I want to switch to budget issues now, Senator. Many economists say the federal budget cannot be balanced without a combination of spending cuts and tax increases. Do you agree or disagree with that analysis?
Well, I agree. I think it's going to take additional revenue as well as cuts or cost savings. But I think where I see the additional revenue coming from is putting people to work, you know, growing our economy, closing tax loopholes. That's where we're going to get the increased revenue. With regard to cost savings, I've already initiated legislation to do that. I've introduced what's called the Cuts Act. You know, I've spent 33 years serving in the military. I know that there are cuts that can be made within the Department of Defense where we will not impact our national security posture by making cuts. And one of them is, you know, since 2002, we've spent over $2 trillion on contract services in the military. So there are areas, for example, that I think we should really take a look at in that area to reduce costs within Department of Defense.
Should entitlement programs be off the table?
Well, I think that we can take a look at eliminating waste, fraud, and abuse with entitlement programs, but you know, I don't want to have a negative impact on our most vulnerable citizens, our seniors, single mothers and fathers, our children. You know, like Congressman Daines, for example, he supports the Ryan budget. The Ryan budget would have negative impacts on our seniors, our single parents, children, our veterans. So I want to stay away from those programs because I know there are savings that can be made up in other areas. We just have to have the courage to do it. And right now, I'm not seeing a lot of courage back here, people with courage in Washington, D.C. that will go after these and make these cuts.
Senator, there's debate in Montana right now and some other states over stand your ground laws. And I realize these are state, not federal laws, but Missoula had a recent tragedy where a young man was killed and brought up the debate of whether Montana's expansion of its castle doctrine went too far. I just wonder what you think of that.
Well, first of all, you know, this case is a tragedy for the community, and my thoughts continue to be out with all of those that have been impacted. You know, the details are still emerging, and it's really premature to comment directly on that case. But as a gun owner, I know the right to bear arms comes with a responsibility to ensure the safety of those around me and those that own weapons. So with that in mind, I do not believe at this point that we need to revise the Castle Doctrine as it currently stands.
So you support the revision that Montana did in 2009, which expanded the Castle Doctrine and made it broader than it was before. You think that's all right?
I do believe that's okay.
I want to talk a little bit now about the campaign. Both you and, on the Republican side, Congressman Daines have raised a fair amount of money now in the millions for your campaign. And if you were to go on, each of you, and win the primary, it would be millions more. Voters are, as you know, pretty disgusted by money in politics, Senator. What's the answer?
Well, I'm disgusted by that there's too much money in politics and the amount of time that is spent having to raise money. You know, and Montanans voted in the 2012 election to overturn the Citizens United case. And unlike, you know, Congressman Daines, who supports the Citizens United decision, I believe that we need to overturn that case. I'm working on that in the Senate as well. I've signed on to a couple of constitutional amendments that will revise the decision.
Do you think that money buys votes, Senator?
Well, I think that would depend on the individual that is voting. In my case, it does not. But it has an impact more just on the amount of time that is spent raising money, and I think it distorts a record. And a perfect example is the amount of outside money that is coming in to the state. You look at what happened in the 2012 election and the amount of outside money that came in the race between Senator Tester and Congressman Reberg. And the day that I announced that I was going to run for the seat, you know, the outside money was already being spent to try to swift boat my military record. And so to me, that's not what the way things should happen. Montanans should be making, you know, these decisions based on what's happening within the state of Montana.
Of course, Senator, all the candidates poo-poo the amount of money and then take the money.
Yes, it's a you know, in order to be able to make a difference, I have to get elected. In order to get elected, I have to raise money in order to get my message out and tell my story about, you know, what I am going to do for the citizens of Montana when I am elected.
Well, I have been speaking with Senator John Walsh, who is running to be elected to that position in the Democratic primary. Senator, I so appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to speak with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I look forward to speaking to you again.